I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Alexis Andre Jr., how you doing, mate?
I'm good, and you?
You've got a massive, massive social media presence.
So they were like, oh, he's just focusing on TikTok while I was working hard every single day. I was the last one in the gym every day. What about the penalty then? You remember?
Yeah, I remember the penalty. You made the goal like a 6-yard goal and a 2-yard goal. So you was trying to mentally try and put Mullin off.
Went to Germany for like a year.
Yeah.
And then I signed for Nike, but Nike was as well. Up and down.
When I first met you, it was at that TST tournament and you were playing for Hashtag.
I had another TV show contacted me. I was like, why would I not do it this time? Because I have no club. I was like, okay, I did it for like a month. And then when I came back, it's too late. Everybody have a fucking goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So obviously I told them, yeah, I'm going to play for you because you need a goalkeeper. But then afterwards, you say I'm not going to stay full time. Say I'm a professional football player, content creator and model.
In which order?
It's exactly this one.
What a save from Mark Howard.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I'm delighted to say I've got a very interesting guest that's full of character. A lot of people might know you're slightly more from your social media presence than your goalkeeping, but a lot of people in football might think that his social media is a detriment to his goalkeeping. I'm here to prove that that's not the case. I'd lovely to welcome Alexis Andre Jr. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, good. Very well, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it's all right. Like I said, you're currently at Woking. You are a goalkeeper. Yeah, you've been a goalkeeper. You've played at Bristol Rovers. You've had a lot of loan moves and stuff. Yeah. And you've got a massive, massive social media presence. Behind the scenes, you were just telling me how much work you put in.
Yeah.
Has it been hard to juggle sometimes?
No, because literally it's like a 15-second video. So people think it's hard, but it's actually the most easiest thing to do ever.
Yeah. But your following, let's go through your following. So TikTok, you're 4.5 million?
Yeah, 4.5, 4.6.
Who's counting just, after that?
And like, something like
that. Even on Instagram now, you're 640,000. Yeah. That doesn't happen overnight. That takes a lot of hours behind the scenes, making sure that you're getting the algorithms right and you're hitting the right target markets. And you're putting a lot of editing work in. Yeah. You just sat in the chair.
I was just editing. Literally doing an editing for my last game. But I enjoy doing it. So maybe that's why the view are here and the following are here as well too.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk a little bit about goalkeeping. Right. So you've just joined Woking.
Yeah.
You've just signed a from being out of contract. Yeah. You were just telling me you actually do your own contracts. You phone the manager yourself. So you create a lot of your own opportunities.
Yeah. So I download the application LinkedIn. And then I was just texting everyone that I could. I was trying to connect with the most people as I could. And obviously I texted the goalkeeper coach, Marlon, and he saw my message. But obviously I think they had already goalkeepers. So obviously the day that they didn't have one goalkeeper, he contacted me back saying, you can come on trial. And then I did my trial and I managed to sign a no contract with them for like 2 months. And obviously when you're training every day, you obviously like improving a lot. And I managed to sign a new contract for a full-time, long-term contract until the end of the season and 1 year option. And then I made my debut the same week.
Yep.
So I think like it's luck, but obviously I provoke my luck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Like you're saying, it is a little bit of luck, but yeah, you're creating opportunities for yourself. You're putting yourself out there, which is fully commendable that you will take risks if you think it will benefit you and your career.
Exactly, yeah.
So obviously now you've signed for Woking. Well, I want to go back to last year because we've got a little bit of history. We played against each other a couple of times. You made at a Wrexham game at the race course, you made some really good saves.
I made like 7-8 saves during the game.
Yeah, you made some good saves in that game.
But then the one save that I didn't was the one that maybe I could save it and we lost to that. So the coach like obviously tell me that was my fault, and obviously I didn't play afterwards because of this, even though I made 7 saves.
Yep. That's the life of being a goalkeeper. Yeah. You only get remembered for your mistakes and not your saves. Like I said, I think you made one really good save at the high at the near post from Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
And obviously you made a couple of saves from your legs.
What about the penalty then? You remember?
Yeah, I remember the penalty as well. Yeah.
That's a good story, to be fair, because before the game, obviously as a goalkeeper, you're watching highlights and Molin hasn't missed one penalty in I don't know how many times.
Yep.
So I was like, I have to put something to put him off. And I remember one video I watched it when I was young was Ronaldinho versus Landreau.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember action. And Ronaldinho didn't miss one pen the whole season. And he did the same. He went to the right before the penalty came in. And then he flicked to the left and went back right and he saved it.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm going to do this if the penalty come. And the penalty came. And obviously, strike.
So, obviously, for the audience that don't know, haven't seen it, you actually, Alexis, you stood on one side.
Yeah.
So you made the goal like a 6-yard goal and a 2-yard goal. So you was trying to mentally try and put Mullin off.
Yeah.
And then obviously, as the penalty as he runs up, you bounce left, back to the middle,
and then
decide which one you want to dive.
Yeah.
And there's been loads of goalkeepers over the years try this, and sometimes it works to great effect. I asked Moles after if this put him off, and he said it didn't. He goes, because I was going to smash it no matter what.
Oh.
And he said, so he missed one last weekend and he smashed it and hit a crossbar.
Oh, okay, fine.
So this is his technique. Mm. But sometimes like any advantage as a goalkeeper, especially for penalties that you can get, it definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this video blew up worldwide. I didn't even have to post it.
Yeah.
People was posting it.
Yeah. That's you creating your own little editing.
I didn't even post it. And then I saw like everybody was reposting. I was like, okay, I'm going to post it now too.
Yeah. And obviously we played against you. I was away. You was at home last year. I only remember obviously the last minute of that game we drew 2-2. I made a mistake and I misread a through ball. All I remember after that game is just wanting the ground to swallow me up.
Oh yeah, that was tough for you. I remember that.
Yeah, these things happen. That's goalkeeping. Football, yeah. It's how you move on from that.
Like do a draw against Maidenhead for West Ham or Wrexham, obviously it's not the best.
No. Nah.
So, yeah.
No, nah, that is exactly what it is. Right, I want to talk a little bit with you about presence of social media and how that was, how footballers and fans treat you.
Okay.
So obviously in a dressing room, you said before when you was back at Bristol, people would look at you funny and like would treat you differently because you...
So I was in Bristol for 4 years, so I didn't have TikTok before at the start. So obviously they know my level. So my teammates like were enjoying my video. They didn't really care about it. But let's say higher level, so let's say the coaches or like the chief management or whatever, I know that for them it was not the right thing. Like they were thinking maybe I was not. So same for the fans, because I was not playing at the time as well.
Yep.
So they were like, oh, he's just focusing on TikTok while I was working hard every single day. I was the last one in the gym every day, etc.
Yep.
So And at the time, nobody really understand what was TikTok. They was thinking that that was childish and everything. Even Bristol Rovers didn't have TikTok. And then when I left, 2 years afterwards, they had TikTok. Everybody have TikTok now, and it's something normal. So now, right now, at the time, everybody respect it. They know the ground. They know how much money you can make from it. So there is not really any issue with my teammates no more. Yeah. But let's say that the fans, when they see me away, most of the time, they're like, oh, TikTok guy, to try to like come in my head. But at the end of the game, they ask me for pictures.
So yeah, yeah. It's like, it comes back around. Yeah. They're the real fans anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. As long as it's no, like, even like myself, as long as I do this podcast, I've got two kids, as long as things don't distract you on the pitch,
yeah.
Why can't we all express ourselves in different
ways? Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the way it should be. Obviously, if doing TikToks and trying to boost your career, whether it's for life after football,
exactly, yeah.
People shouldn't question you for that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're giving your best on a match day.
Exactly.
That's all that's the most important. All right, let's do some quick fire questions.
Okay, good.
Summer goalkeeping stuff. All right, so catch or parry?
Catch.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
You love a parry, man. You're a camera safe person.
I don't mean it, but...
favorite goalkeeper kit color?
Pink. Pink? I like crazy.
Yeah, you like crazy stuff, yeah. Play out from the back or kick it long?
I like play out from the back, but obviously my level is just kick it long. Yeah.
Kick it as far away from the goal as possible. Who's your favorite ever goalkeeper?
Ever was Barthez at the time.
Yes.
And then I went for Van der Sar.
Yes.
And De Gea.
Yeah.
And now, is Courtois now.
Yeah.
So saving wise.
One of them is who's the best goalkeeper in the world right now?
Yeah, Courtois. 100%. Saving wise, nobody's better than him.
Yeah. Shot stopping is unbelievable. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Long sleeve shirt or short sleeve shirt?
Long sleeve, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Proper goalkeeper kit. Yeah. How tall are you?
6'3". Yeah. 6'3", 6'4". Yeah.
I'm just making it up, man.
6'3", 6'4".
Do you like head tennis or two touch?
Head tennis, yeah.
Yeah, head tennis, good.
I always lose two touch. I don't know why.
Yeah? Oh, I'd love to play against you. I'm one of the best
two touch
players ever. Right, and then last minute of a game, you can save a penalty to win a game.
Yeah.
Or you go up for a corner and you score a goal.
Nah, I think saving a pen. Because that could actually come often, and scoring a goal is like one time ever, you know.
Yeah.
So now saving a pen, I think, is the best feeling.
Yeah, okay. No worries. Yeah. I want to score a goal, man.
Yeah, I know, but that's like, to be fair, last game, so Saturday, we were losing, and I wanted to go in, and the coach said no. And then we had a corner. Literally, it was, after this, it was over, and I wanted to come in again, and they said no. So I was like, all the fans, they were not very happy about it, but sometimes they don't want looking bad afterwards if you concede the goal.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, let's be safe.
Yeah. Right, okay. Let's go back a long time to how you got into goalkeeping.
Yeah.
What's your earliest memory of being a goalkeeper?
My first day, literally when I was 7. So when we talk about creating your own opportunity, my dad is the same. So maybe that's why I got this mentality. We just went to a football ground. So the name is Strasbourg, Racing Club de Strasbourg. Yeah. So that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And we just walk in and he asked when is my age training? And they were like, okay, they're training at this time. So we came back later on. And then the coaches, they didn't have any keepers. And then he said, okay, you can go. And I had my kit on and my gloves there. And then from that, I signed for them. And then that's how I started playing football. So it's literally just to make your own opportunity.
Yeah, because you was born in France, obviously.
Yeah,
Strasbourg. Yeah.
So I played for my city.
Yeah. Well, that must have been incredible that you never played for a team then, but went on a trial from just opportunity.
Pro club, yeah.
And end up signing for them.
Straight away,
how long did you stay with them for?
Oh, so 6-7 years. So they basically teach me how to play football.
Yeah. And you was always a goalkeeper. You never thought about being
so outfield. I was playing... In France, we are knowing to learn how to play football in the street.
Yeah.
So I was playing in football in the street. I was no goalkeeper. I was playing with my feet. So that's why now I'm very comfortable with my feet.
Yeah.
And I was entering playing outfield outside the football ground. And then when I was playing football as a professional or like in a professional team, I was just goalkeeper.
Yeah. And then, so you came through the 6th tier academy, didn't you? You're going to pronounce this better than me. Schiltingham. What's the...
Schiltingham. So Schiltingham, I had an opportunity basically through the street football. So one coach is in a street football saw me playing actually in goal one time, and he was like, come to my club in Schiltigheim for a trial for the first, the best league in France in my age.
Yep.
And then I signed for them. I was on the bench, and then at the end of the year, I played like 5-10 games as a starter. And
for the first team there?
No, for the best league in my age,
okay,
as a 17.
Yep.
So you play against the best professional team in around your area.
Yeah.
And then from that, I signed for the first team as a number 3. And then I get my opportunity to be on the bench for the first team. And then I play with the second team. But they were playing like men's football, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a good opportunity for me. But I was so hungry. I wanted to sign professional or whatever, professional team. I went on trial somewhere. And they when they found out, they were like, okay, you're going to go back with the under 19.
Right, okay.
I
yeah.
was like, there is no way you're going to bring someone who is like 2 years older, younger than me to take my place. And me, I go down. So I left, went to Germany for like a year.
Yeah.
Play with the under 19, then signed for the first team. And then
that was at Keller.
Keller FV, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I signed for Nike, but Nike was as well up and down.
Yep. So obviously can you explain what the Nike Academy was? Obviously,
yeah. Okay.
Nike put together their own academy for kind of released players from all around Europe, really, wasn't it?
It was not released, it was from any player that haven't signed any contract.
That was it, yeah. So like, yeah, that hadn't found a club yet.
Yeah, professional clubs.
And where was this based?
So that was in St. George's Park. Yep. So in the football national
St. George's Park.
Yeah, yeah. St. George's Park. So basically, they had like 100,000 players around the world who was doing the trial.
Yes.
And then when they were making to their own country, they were coming to the final, the world final in England.
Yep.
So obviously, I did the first one in France. I made it to the final in France. And then in France, in the final, they were like, okay, we're not taking goalkeepers, so we take only 4 outfield players. But then I was on the list in case if someone is needed a goalkeeper.
Yep.
So 2 weeks after they called me, they said, okay, you're going to the world final because we need a keeper. Then I went to the final. I was amazing in training for 2 days. And then during the games, maybe I was a bit stressed. So I didn't get selected. So from 50 players, they selected only 10 players, 2 goalkeepers. And I was not in the 2.
No way.
And
yeah.
then for me, everything went, my head was like so bad because that was my only chance to sign professional. I went back in Germany for a year and then they called me back. And they say, yeah, we took a goalkeeper. He was not good enough. And then obviously every 6 months they do a new final.
Yep.
Some keepers came in. They were not in my level. So they called me and saying, yeah, we remember you. Are you still playing football? Would you like to come? 1 year after. So I came back there. I was number 3. And then in the last 2 months again, I managed to be number 1. And
yep.
then I played so many games, went on trial to Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
Sign. So it's literally many bad luck combining with good luck.
Yeah. But so when you signed for the Nike Academy,
yeah.
did you move over to England then?
So yeah, they literally pay everything. They were using £5,000 one for one player each month.
Yeah.
And we were like 20 or something.
So they would put you in
a hotel. In the hotel. We were all
They'd
together
pay for
in the
your
hotel.
Food, but you train
every
like
day.
A professional.
Yeah. And you play against the best team in the world, like Arsenal,
yeah.
Barcelona,
you
travel.
Different academies, yeah.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah. And at the time, I was not even thinking about who I was playing against. I was just thinking that my team is the best and just living the moment. And I think every single player who was in Nike Academy had the best experience in their life. And right now, some players are playing in Prem or Championship and they still think that Nike Academy was the best time in their life because it was just something that you cannot recreate, you know what I mean?
So yeah, was it too enjoyable though that you forgot to try and look for a club while you were there?
Was
Nike trying to push you into clubs?
Oh yeah, that was the main focus. Everyone here was just focusing on signing professional. So that was our main focus. We was wondering and literally every single day when you walk in the pitch, I was like, wow, this is just amazing. But then I was just focusing on signing. Everybody else was the same.
Yeah. So then you got your opportunity to go on trial to Bristol.
So actually I went to Bury once
right,
before
okay.
they went.
Bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy there. And then I went to Leeds actually because I had a very good game. And they had Pika Farrell. What is his name? No, Pika Farrell.
Peacock Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, big Northern Ireland goalkeeper.
Yeah, so he literally just signed a new contract for them. Like he was a future big star for them. So I stayed there for 2 days. Then I went back. And then my last one was Bristol Rovers. And then I signed, I was there for a week.
See, going on trial, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like it's difficult because of the like you said, the pressure before of the Nike one. When you went to Leeds and when you went to Bristol, did you think like this could be my last opportunity? Or was you always positive thinking, Something will come.
Yeah, Bristol, I think I was thinking that that was my last opportunity. So I literally gave everything because it was in the summer.
Yep.
But then Leeds and Bury was during Nike Academy. So
you knew you could go back to the Nike Academy.
Yeah. But literally everything changed for me in Nike when I played. I don't know if you saw the video. It was a street football game versus Rashford, Aubameyang. You don't remember?
No, no.
It was called, I forget the name. But anyway, it was like an event for Nike and all the big sponsor players from Nike were there. Even Courtois was there.
Yeah.
And they were taking strike from like a penalty area.
Yep.
And then I was literally gambling everything. I was reading how they were striking and I saved everything. And then from that on, the coaches were like, oh, he's actually good. Yeah. We should play him. And then
That created your opportunity just from an advert.
Yeah. So that's how I start to play because before that I was not even playing because you have two other goalkeepers and they want to sign. So they are like pushing them and they are British as well. They are pushing them to sign. They were going on trial but never signing, you know. So I was always behind it. But yeah, that's
how it was. That felt like that was your moment.
Yeah.
Even when you went to Bristol then.
Okay.
Obviously, being at the Nike Academy and everything you're saying is nice. The hotel is lovely. Food's good. Your training ground's good. So then go to Bristol and things wouldn't have been as easy or as nice. Was that also a test of your character?
I mean, Bristol, it was pretty professional, but it was not where it is now, to be fair. So, yeah. But when you come to first team game and you realize that, wow, there's 10,000 people there, like everything changed, you know? So you're just focusing. No, maybe not in training, but you're focusing for the Saturday because you know that every single game counts.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Even when you signed professional at Bristol then, that must have been a huge achievement for you and for your dad as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, you create a lot of your own opportunities. So that moment must have been quite big for you.
Yeah, that was my dream. Childhood dream, you know, just to being paid to be a footballer. Everybody was like, oh, you're not going to make it or whatsoever, you know.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, I did it. So I was like, now I want to keep going. And then I made my debut 1 month afterwards.
Yeah.
And, but then, obviously, when you are a young goalkeeper, 19, 20, they didn't really trust me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You play one game and you get out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And even though I was fit, full of confidence, everybody believed in me, like my teammates. But the coaches didn't believe. So they bring back the goalkeeper who was injured to play, literally. And, obviously, he didn't perform well. You cannot not train for like 1 month and a half and then perform
in
the League One game.
But then after that, do you feel like you earned a lot more respect off of them? Or was it more about you needed to go and get some games now?
Yeah,
and
it was just that.
They sent you out on loan a few times.
Yeah, but that was not some good loan enough. They didn't, like, they were just keeping me as a number three, training every day, but they didn't push me to go on loan. Like, I would have loved to go on loan in National League, prove myself. That's what they did with some players, to be fair.
Yeah.
And they did amazing. And then they obviously came back and start straight away for Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
Because when you prove in National League, I mean that you could possibly
you can be good enough push
to the league. Yeah.
So do you feel like in that 4 years that you was at Bristol then, that you could have developed more if given the right opportunities or the right loan moves?
Yeah.
But they didn't. You had a lot of loan moves to lower leagues.
Yeah. But then the last two years, I didn't really go on loan. I was just chilling and training every day, pushing. But yeah, no opportunity.
Like, what, third choice goalkeeper?
Yeah. So when you are third choice, it's the worst position because.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, because when there is a cup game, you're going to be on the bench. The number two is going to play. So when are you going
to
play?
Yeah, there's not many opportunities to play. And you get used in training for every shooting drill.
Yeah.
Because they can't risk the number one getting injured.
Yeah.
And the number two can only do so much training, and the manager will say, enough. Finish.
To be fair, I enjoy do the finishing because I enjoy saving balls.
Yeah.
But they just never had any chance to play, to be fair. But then the only time I had a chance is when Joey Barton came in because he is young. He understands that even young player could be good enough.
Yeah.
So he gives a chance to everyone. And if he was here early enough, I would have had the chance
more
to play. For sure. But then all the gaffer before, they were very old school. If the number one not good enough, number two not good enough, we take someone on loan.
Yeah.
Number three, we're not even looking at him. We're not even saying hi to him or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, so while you was at Bristol anyway, you then started like your social media journey.
Yeah, because my teammates told me too.
Right.
I didn't even know what was TikTok. I thought that was for childish people, like kids watching TikToks. And then they were like, you should do TikTok. like, you got a good personality and your look is good too. Yeah. You should try it. So I just watched the application for a week to understand how it worked. And then I saw a trend and I was like, okay, I have a video on my Snapchat that could match the trend. And I did it and then did 100,000 views for my first video. So I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it. And then the lockdown started. So you remember the first lockdown in 2020? Course,
yeah. You had a lot of time to...
Yeah, in March. And then I was playing video game every day, but then I started to be bored of playing video games. So I started to post like 10 to 15 videos a day. So I start my day, I work out, and then post video in the morning, eat, work out, post video in the afternoon and in the night. And my only goal was to blow it up every single day.
Yeah.
And then I gained from in 3 months for 500,000 followers. But you don't really understand why it is until you came out. So I came outside because the lockdown was over and then people was asking me for a picture. It's like life changing, you know, you don't, it's just crazy.
So even that then, that's a strange in itself that you were Bristol Rovers number 3, not really getting many opportunities, not really getting any loan moves.
Yeah.
But then lockdown happens and you start your own social media, like, and then you blow up overnight almost.
I say
overnight, but like lockdown was 3-4 months.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of time to work on social media stuff and put different stuff and follow all the trends.
Yeah.
Like you were saying to me off air that you researched how to edit yourself and you started editing.
Yeah.
And you do all of this, you manage to do all of this on your phone.
Yeah, just on my iPhone. Literally, I do everything myself. But because I enjoy doing it, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I managed to get followers and views.
Yeah. Did you find that when you went back to, did you go back to Bristol after COVID?
Yeah.
Did they then treat you differently?
Differently, maybe. Not my teammates, no. And I think this year I was the best in my year in Bristol Rovers ever because I was working out as well every single day, as I said. So I came back physically, I was unbelievable. I was jumping higher than everyone. And in training, I was good, feeling good. But obviously there is 2 goalkeepers before you.
Yeah.
So there is not much you can do.
Yeah.
And maybe at the time I made a mistake is that I didn't post any of my training content on my TikTok and I had a lot of clout at the time.
Yeah.
So obviously all the fans in Bristol, they were like, oh, he's just a TikTok guy now.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But then I was doing some unbelievable save in training that I saved it on my video, but I've never posted it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
it's hard to find that right balance of what people deem is professional footballer and what also people will accept in the social media realm.
Exactly.
So to try and find that balance, obviously it's a lot more accepting now. Obviously one of my former team, like Ben Foster, he created the GoPro and the goal.
Exactly.
And it made it more acceptable. He had his own podcast, even like now I've got a podcast. You know, like there's people out there that are doing a lot more content, a lot more social media, a lot more YouTube challenges that have made it more acceptable from the top level.
Yeah, but it's different because Foster, he's like, he was 30 something. He made it in football wise.
Yeah.
I'm like 21, 22.
That's what I mean. But that's what I mean about the fan representation of it.
That
it's acceptable for someone in the Premier League to do it, but it's not acceptable for someone that's not playing at Bristol Rovers.
Exactly.
So it's hard because you'll get criticism at that level, but not at that level. Was that something that you would take on board, or is it something that you was like, no, I still want to do this. This is what I want to do. I know I've got goals and how to achieve it.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm not looking about what the fan thinkings, but at the time I was. So I was trying to take as a consideration, you know what I mean? But then obviously I just did my best. The only thing I regret is not posting my football content.
Yep.
Because maybe that the fans would have seen that obviously actually he's good. He's working hard in training. Because when they don't see that, they just see me looking good on camera on TikTok, they're obviously going to have some judgment and not really understand that, no, he's actually good and working hard a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But now every single action that I have, every game, I'm posting it on my social media now because people, all my male followers, when they see me, they are not like, oh, he's a TikTok guy. They're like, oh, he's a footballer. He's a goalkeeper. Oh, that's a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know? Because they see my football content more than just me looking good on TikTok.
You keep saying you looking good. Yeah, it cracks me up, man.
Because it's like my 70% of following are girls because they like how I look. And 30% is my male followers
Mine's
who like myself.
Opposite. Mine's an absolute opposite percentage. right, let's go back to football, right? So you then moved to Folkestone, where you said that you now live.
Yeah.
And obviously you played a few games for them. You played for Dover and then before you moved to Maidenhead.
To be fair, before that, I did a TV show. I don't know if you saw that.
What was the TV show?
So I did a dating TV show. So basically, that's when I was at Bristol. Love Island contacted me at the time.
Yeah.
And I think that I didn't do Love Island.
Yeah,
I was not looking forward to do Love Island.
Yeah.
But they contacted me. And at the time, I had no anyone who was doing medicine, like my doctors.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to trust my Bristol Rovers doctor. I was like, look, I'm not interested to do Love Island, but my agent is like, you should just do what they say and see how it goes. I was like, okay, let's do it. And then I said to my doctor, yeah, can you give them my information and everything? 2 weeks later, I came back in training. Everybody's talking about it. Oh, he's going Love Island, Love Island, Love Island. I was in the middle of the season, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I had a conversation with the coach. I was like, I'm not interested to go to Love Island. They contacted me, but I'm focused on football, you know what I mean? But then nobody literally really hear what I was saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the doctor literally snitched, and I felt that he snitched it to the high direction, you know?
Yep.
And they're like, okay, then he's not a footballer no more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then from that, obviously, I left before Bristol Rovers, even though I had 1 year option.
Yeah.
But we went down as well this year, so like half of the team left.
Yeah.
But I feel that could have been a good opportunity for me, obviously, in League Two, to be at least number two and play games. But afterwards, I had another TV show contacted me. I was like, why would I not do it this time? Because I have no club. And it was in summer. So I was like, okay, I did it for like a month. And then when I came back, it's too late. Everybody have a fucking goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn.
Yeah. Obviously, the timing aspect of that. Obviously, but to try and boost your profile. Or,
yeah,
like, even like the Love Island thing, like you're saying, that your agent approached you and you said to your doctor.
Yeah.
This is what I mean about football is changing. It's becoming more accepted.
Yeah, now it is.
But
at the time,
it's more difficult, especially for someone that would have been 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And they still think, well, once you make it, you're allowed to do that or you've earned it. But like when you're young trying to make it, they don't think that you should have those opportunities
yet,
and you should concentrate on football.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that mix. And
then when I was working hard in the gym, they were like, oh, he's getting ready to go on Love Island.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, I've been working hard every single day in the gym.
Yeah.
Like,
but they only take it at face value for the most recent thing.
But I feel they don't respect you until you play every game.
Yeah.
Like, at least play one game. Like when I make some crazy saves in training, it's irrelevant unless you do in game.
Yeah, unless you're established in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only thing that matter.
So with those moves to Folkestone and Dover.
So I went to, obviously, Dover, they had no budget.
Yep.
And I was supposed to sign with them before to go on Love on the TV show.
Yep.
Obviously, I went there. So they had to sign someone else on loan.
Okay.
So they had two goalkeepers. So I was just keeping my fitness, going there every day for a whole year. And then I managed to play the last 10 games because they sent the goalkeeper on loan back. And that's... when I played 10 games and I really enjoy playing football, I played against, literally, you remember the game? I think you were there. I don't know if you were there. Wrexham versus Dover?
No,
the craziest game ever. Okay, 6-5.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I wasn't there. It was a year before.
That was my first bench game. And we were literally winning 5-2.
Yep.
And in the last 20, and we lost 6-5.
Yeah, it's crazy that 11 goals.
Exactly. And after that, obviously the keeper made a little mistake at the last goal. And after that, I started every game. And I literally enjoyed it. I was making crazy saves because obviously my team was not the best.
Yep.
We had a lot of young players because no money. And from that on, I managed to sign for Maidenhead because I played against them and made some great saves.
Yeah.
And I was same again, number two. When I start, because they had a goalkeeper from last season who did well, and again, I managed to play 20 games.
Yeah,
even though I was number two.
Yeah,
and then they offered me a new contract, and then I just felt that the coach was not really giving me any confidence to play next season, so I was like, I'm just gonna reject it and maybe try to find something that could suit me.
Yep,
I really didn't find anything.
Yeah,
even though I tried. And then I managed to sign for Woking.
Yeah.
And obviously they had a very good goalkeeper right now who is already on, who is like number one.
Yeah.
Played 100 games, around 100 games in League One.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to learn from him and learn from my goalkeeper coach who played 200-400 games in
himself.
Premier League.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And keep improving every
day. And just, that's it. Yeah. That's all goalkeeping is about is learning.
And I'm a very positive guy as well. So even though I'm not playing, I will always be nice to the number one.
Yep.
And if I'm playing, I'd be nice. I'd be exactly the same.
Yeah, that's it. That's good. That's the way goalkeepers should be. We should be consistent on and off the field.
It was not the same. Some clubs sometimes when you become number one, the number one has totally changed from how he was before.
Yeah, that happens with some people.
Yeah.
Right, Alex. I want to do our quiz now.
Okay, cool.
Called Goalie or No Goalie. I've got 5 international goalkeepers and 5 random names from around the world.
Oh, so I need to find out.
Yeah. We keep score.
I'm not very good at this.
You'll be all right. You might recognise some of them. Some of them you should know. Some you might not know. So it's 1 point for each correct answer, okay?
Okay.
So you say goalie or no goalie.
Okay.
So number one, Emilius Zubas.
That's a good name, though. That sounds like a goalkeeper. I'm going to say no goalie just because I don't know him.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the Lithuania goalkeeper at Tel Aviv.
Okay.
Emilius Zubas.
I know this name sounded like a goalkeeper. Yeah,
it's a great name. That's man. A great it name. It's a great name. Right, number two, David Gandhi.
No goalie?
Nope. He is not a goalkeeper. Yes. He is the world's most famous model.
Yeah, I know. He's literally modeling in my agency.
Yeah?
Select, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big famous model.
Yeah, he's one of the most famous in the world. Right, number three, Mohamed Haidapour.
No goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. He's Mo Ali.
Oh, yeah. We follow each other on Instagram.
Yeah, so can you
I love this guy.
Describe who Mo Ali is. Everyone of your followers,
he's a content creator
in football.
Very good content creator in football. He got millions of followers everywhere.
Yeah. He studied on football teams and stuff.
Yeah. No, he's very good, man.
Yeah. Content creator. Right, so number four, Bryce Samba.
Ah, my brother, goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper.
I love this goalkeeper. Amazing.
He is the France on loans goalkeeper.
Yes, number 3 in France national team.
Yeah, he played the other day.
Yeah, he played.
He actually 2-2. Started, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah, good game. They won 12-0 before that, France.
No, 14.
14?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
Against Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Right, number 5, Joel Moule.
No goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the Cyprus goalkeeper in Serviette. That is the most English name to chuck into it.
There's no way someone find us.
Nah, I know why. I chucked that name in on purpose. I knew no one would think that was a goalie. Right, number 6, Quavas Marshall.
No goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is American rapper.
Quavo. Oh yeah, Quavo.
His real name is Quavos.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Number 7, Gabriel Slonina. Slonina.
That's definitely a goalkeeper's name. Come on.
Gabriel Slonina is USA and UPenn goalkeeper in Belgium.
Yes.
5 now. Right. Number 8, Carl Benz.
Carl Benz. I'm going to say no goalkeeper because I've never heard about him.
You are correct. It's actually the inventor of Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, wow.
His name is Carl Benz.
Okay. Benz. Okay.
Yeah, invented Mercedes. Right. Number 9, Percy Kianjbeni. Kianj Benny.
I don't know. No goalkeeper.
You saying no goalkeeper?
Yeah, because I don't know him.
Is PK Humble.
Oh!
You don't know his real name. You've played with him.
No, I call him PK.
You call him PK. You don't know Percy.
Oh, Percy, fair enough.
Can you pronounce his surname for me? Kianj Benny?
Kianj Benny. Oh, he never told me his surname.
Percy.
No, he's the funniest guy I've never known in my life.
Yeah.
Like, he's unbelievable. So funny. Bro.
Yeah. You've obviously played with him and that. You never knew his name was Percy.
No, he never told me his name.
Obviously,
everybody's calling him PK.
PK, yeah, PK Humble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. We'll talk about him after this. Right, okay, last one. Number 10, Davy Royard.
Yeah, that's goalkeeper.
Why?
Because it has to be. That's a good name.
He is a goalkeeper. Yes. He plays for Guadeloupe.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I know
Bordeaux
this guy.
B.
Yeah, he's the number one in Guadeloupe, yeah.
Yeah. Well played, mate.
Nice.
8 out of 10.
That's not too bad.
8 out of 10 is very good.
Let's
good
go.
Scoring, that.
Come on.
I thought I threw in a few curveballs for you there and you just battered them off.
Let's go.
Right. In pre-season, we actually, when I first met you, it was at that TST tournament and you were playing for Hashtag.
I mean, not first met. We met
obviously
before,
we played, but obviously got to speak to you then.
Yeah.
How was it playing for Hashtag?
So obviously the tournament was a very great experience.
So Spencer was on this show. A long, long time ago, like one of my first guests. And I said to him to speak to you because obviously the content side of what Hashtag
is. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I gave him your name like a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Because of your content stuff. That's crazy. And that's what Hashtag do, don't they? They look for people that are involved in the content creator world.
Yeah, so, but to be fair, I texted him as well on Instagram.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I want to make, I want to be involved in the YouTube world.
Yeah.
Could you maybe possibly give me some contact? Because I see that you're working with some YouTubers.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, maybe I will let you know. And then one day he just texted me saying, we're going in USA for a tournament. Would you like to come with Hashtag? He gave me the date. The date were matching my free time. So I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then I went there. It was very fun. I enjoyed my time there. Very good group of lads. Good organization. And and then from that, they texted me, obviously, a lot. They wanted me to sign for Hashtag.
Yeah. I remember at that tournament, our Wrexham changing rooms was opposite.
Oh, Hashtag that changing was room. Funny, isn't it?
And so it was like two porter cabins. And one day the music was blaring in your camp. I think you'd just played a game, beat somebody. And all of a sudden, all we hear is like the windows smash.
Oh yeah, someone smashed the window, I know.
And we was all like, no, this is not serious. Crazy. You're just mad.
But I think we did a bit too much. Actually, they did too much. Even we walk in the pitch with the music and everything. I was like, we need to focus, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were like, no, that's our identity. We want to be like this. And then obviously we lost. But yeah, but afterwards, when I had no club, they were like, do you need a club? Do you want to sign for us? I was like, I'm not really looking to sign in this low level because I had some teams from this league already texting me. I was like, I don't want to settle for this. Even like some players that I played with last season who signed for them, they were like, look, you're not going to play any games if you're not coming this to her level.
Yep.
You should come. But I know my worth. And in my head, I wanted National League minimum or like top National League safe so I can play every game overseas. Yep. It's all right.
Yeah, it's good standard, yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't go down this level. I prefer to not play for anyone, waiting for someone go injured, red card.
Yep.
Who need a goalkeeper, and then I will jump there. And then obviously, they really need their keeper because their keeper got injured. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it for like 2-3 games.
Yeah, because you actually did play 2 or 3 games for them in start of the season, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was it tempting because obviously the help that you could get with the content?
No. I have my own cloud.
Yeah.
So even though their YouTube channel is doing so well, every video I watch there and they have a very strong base.
Yep.
But I'm interested to go as high as I can as a footballer. And my social media is really, really my second thing in my life. Football is my main thing since I was young. And social media obviously is my biggest income and cloud and everything. But football is my number one. So I will never go for football. I will never go to a football team because they pay me some crazy amount of money if the level is not matching my expectation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So obviously I told them, yeah, I'm going to play for you because you need a goalkeeper. But then afterwards, obviously I'm not going to stay full time.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I enjoy playing because I didn't play for like 2 months. Gave me some confidence, and then I went to working with those games in my head, so I was feeling good.
Yep, right. On the social media stuff then, let's get into it a little bit more, like I said.
Yep.
Right. When people approach you, what do you do for a job? Are you a model, footballer, influencer?
I say it's just 3 things. I say I'm a professional football player, content creator, and model.
Yeah. In which order do you think?
It's exactly this one.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. So... obviously, like you said a little bit about the finances side.
Oh, yeah.
In which order do you get paid the most?
Oh, content creator.
Yeah.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's so much money in content creating, and I think everybody should try it, give it a go. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's so easy as well. I mean, I say it's easy now where I am now. Obviously, it's hard.
To start from nothing.
Yeah. You need to dedicate yourself on it, really be consistent with it, and then it will pay off because when I started, I was like, maybe one day this thing is going to be give me money. But then I was enjoying at the same time, and now obviously he actually does. So you have to be positive about it.
Yep. So when you're creating content then, what are you looking for? Are you trying to make something go viral?
Yeah.
Or are you just creating content that you enjoy making?
No, my goal is to go viral.
So even if you don't like the way that some videos come across?
No. I cannot post something I don't like.
Okay.
So I have to enjoy my video.
Yep.
If I don't like it, I will maybe delete it.
Yep. But you're trying to find that one video because one of your videos did 15 million views on TikTok, isn't it? No, it might have been more.
On Instagram?
Might have been.
Oh, what? In TikTok, I did 60 million
yeah,
one
that
day.
Was it. I think I might have seen one of them just went million. Mad. Yeah. And then some of them don't do as well. Do you get frustrated from some of them that don't go
my,
as well?
Most of my video that doesn't do well is collaboration.
Okay.
So basically they pay me to use a song. But right. You don't really, people who are not in the social media world, yep. Let's say they don't know it.
Yep.
So they just think it's my video that didn't do well, but yeah. I just did what someone told me to do to obviously get paid from it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't mind if they don't do well because I'm getting paid.
You're already getting paid. So yeah. You're getting paid, when you say you're getting paid, you mean sponsorships. They're asking you to do a video or wear a certain item of clothing yeah. and to create content
yeah,
that on they this, want,
yeah.
but put it on your social media
exactly.
channel.
So they're not going to do well, I know yeah. already. But then afterwards, I'm trying to obviously get back with something good after this video
yes.
to get some my view up because if someone wants to obviously get an advertisement from me, they want to see my view doing well.
Yeah,
so I cannot just keep my work video and then not, they're not going to do well and then they're going to see like, oh, he's not gonna doing views, like yeah. useless to work with him.
Yeah, of course. So obviously, like you're saying, it's so important to get the views and stuff. You blew up, obviously, some of your like we're saying, TikTok, you've got 4.6 million yeah. followers. That doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But are you constantly working on like the algorithm sort of style? Like you said, you want to get into YouTube more now.
Oh yeah.
You're constantly learning different ways, but are you following the trends or are you trying to make your own content? And
I'm doing YouTube the trends, but then I'm very versatile. I can do anything, any type of content on TikTok. That's yeah. why I like TikTok, because you can blow up with any type of content.
Yeah.
On Instagram, literally it's like one thing. Like literally your look, how good you look on Instagram, yeah. that's how you're going to get views. On TikTok, you can talk about football, food, any type of video is going to work.
Yep.
So as long as it's a creative video and a good quality video, you can get numbers.
Yeah.
But realistically, now that I have 4.6 million, I'm chilling now.
Okay.
So I'm not active every day.
Yeah,
I used to be posting every day, like multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And my only goal was to blow up every single day.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think I should have this mindset again now, but obviously I don't have it no more. I'm just having a bit of rest because I'm not a full-time content creator. You know, I'm a footballer.
So, but are you having a bit of a rest time now to concentrate on working now?
No, it's just...
Or just in general, that's yeah. where you feel like you are?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And where do you think you will go on social media and obviously...
I think I need to start YouTube.
Yeah.
That would be... Because when you have a big following on YouTube, you have a pretty massive fan base that's bigger than every other social media in the world. So if I can manage to be good at this,
yeah.
obviously you can be set for yeah. life. So, and I can bring my followers from TikTok on YouTube.
Yeah.
But you just have to find the time. As a full-time footballer, it's very
difficult,
hard.
Difficult, yeah.
Because you're tired. You're training in the morning, you're going gym. It's like already 2-3 o'clock. How do you want to do YouTube content?
Yeah.
And we are footballers as well. So that yeah. means you have to use your body.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah,
not easy.
So... Only one last thing on that is that the goal for the social media stuff is providing you with a really good income.
Oh yeah,
and that is your main reason for doing it.
No, yeah,
you enjoy doing it, but the main reason is you need money to live, and
yeah.
if that's going to give you a good income and a good way of life, why yeah. not?
Before it was more because I enjoy it. Now it's just for money now.
Yep,
literally. Yeah, I don't enjoy it as much now. Maybe because I did it for like so long already, 3 years.
Yep.
So yeah,
that's only natural though.
Yeah, but yeah, it is what it is now. Obviously, Instagram is now I start to enjoy Instagram because the reels are pretty easy to get views and followers.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to jump on this as well.
Yeah.
But there is no. To be fair, Instagram could be a big income because you have as well a strong fan base on Instagram. It's
yep.
like YouTube.
Yeah. But in Instagram for you would be more about sponsorships.
Yeah, clothing brands.
Yeah.
Like protein. And yep. stuff like
all
this.
These sort of like.
Yeah.
But then that's natural. The more following that you have, the more people want to get involved with you anyway.
Yeah.
So people will criticize for saying that you do too much work on it, but it provides a really good income yeah. for your life.
Yeah. And modeling as well. If I was not playing football full time, I would be doing modeling a lot yeah. because it's good income as well.
Yeah.
But there is many footballers who switch from footballer to model because of the money.
Yeah.
But football is my main thing, so I'm not going to switch that.
Right. Let's go back to football then. Right. So. Let's talk about the gloves that you now wear.
Yeah.
So tell me about how you... So you're wearing ABs now.
Yeah.
Tell me about how this came about.
Same thing again. It's like me trying my best to find a sponsor. I'm not going to name which brand I texted. I didn't have really some good reply from them. But I managed to text Asmir Begovic on Instagram, and he was down for it straight away, to be fair, a very good guy.
Yeah.
And I test his glove for like two, three weeks. And I was like, yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And then from that on, now I'm playing with them and I really enjoy them.
Yeah. They're good gloves as well. Obviously, I've tried a couple of pairs in training and that, because he gave them to me when he came on the show.
Okay.
Obviously, he's growing his glove brand out. Yeah. What is it you love about his gloves?
I can catch the ball like this.
Yeah.
You've literally flew on the
floor.
They're
quite big as well, these ones.
Yeah, that's
aren't
size
they?
10. It's a bit big for me, but
size I think 10, it's, yeah.
So I throw the ball on the floor and I can catch it like this. And I cannot do that with many gloves.
Do you like to try different types of gloves? Obviously, these are a negative cut. You've got the fingers. Did you try other cuts?
No, I literally try only this one right now because that's the only one he got available. Yep. So now I adapt myself with it.
Yep.
To be fair, usually I like tights.
Tight ones, yeah.
So like one glove, they have tights. Nike, they have tight. Adidas, they have tight.
So you like the slip-on ones without the straps and the slide-on ones?
On Nike?
Or any of them?
I don't really mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. But obviously now you've got...
All sport
are good.
But they are
as
too
well.
Expensive.
Yeah.
So expensive.
Obviously now Asmir's looking after you a bit, but before that, was you looking after your gloves?
I had a sponsor as well.
Oh, you had a sponsor
I had a French one. RG.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's not a French one. RG gloves, I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, but my sponsor was from France.
Okay.
So they had to send it to my dad in France, and then my dad had to send it to me in UK. And I was playing game every week and week out. I'm like, I need my gloves now.
Yeah.
So it didn't work.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm done now. Even though the grip is good, it's not working out.
Oh, all right, fair enough. Right, do you have any superstitions?
Superstition, let me think. Let's say it is one, to be fair, even though it's not ready. I just always have my drink on my right side of my goal.
On your goal, yeah, has to go that side.
I don't know why. It's just one thing that I did now.
Yeah, and it always has to go there now.
And then up as well.
Up, standing up. Has to stand up as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much it, to be fair. And you?
Mine are all old school habits. So, left glove on, right glove on, and then before the game starts, I'll walk across my goal. You know, I always measure my goal, every goal.
Is it?
Yeah, it's where I'm gonna work, so I want it to be right. So then, but I'll walk across and I'll talk to myself. But the only one I do that's weird is before the game, I'll have a sip of water and then spit it out, you know, like the wrestler, Triple H.
In the beach?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why, it's just...
Oh, fair enough.
I have no idea. I must have saw someone do it years ago. I know Kyle Walker does it now, but weird. Just
fair enough.
Yeah. What about your training structure for the gym? Do you like doing goalkeeping gym sessions? Because obviously it's a bit more specific. We do a lot more loading stuff.
Yeah.
And the training sessions is a lot more power-based. Do you find that you do a lot of stuff? You're quite naturally, you've got a good spring, like
athletic,
you said.
Yeah. And very athletic.
So do you work on a lot more stuff, or do you find it's a bit more natural?
So you mean in the gym?
In the gym.
So you do you work. I work on my legs a little bit to do the power.
Yeah.
But then mostly it was like natural. I'm very athletic since I'm very young.
Yep.
So yeah, I got it naturally.
Yeah.
I just enjoy my goalkeeping session as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What do you love about goalkeeper training?
Handling, catching the ball. I really like that.
What do you think is the most important thing for you to work on in training?
In training, so... When I first started at walking was my fitness, because I didn't play for a long time.
Yep.
Now I'm fit. I'm in my good Kiji. Kiji.
Yep.
So now it's just focusing on handling.
Yep.
And then obviously now I sort out my handling right. So now it's my kicking.
Yep.
So just doing some extra kicking.
Yep.
To be fair, I did some extra kicking on Friday, stupidly, because now I hurt my quad on Saturday in the warm up.
Yeah.
So then now I still have pain in my quad and I had to play with it.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes you have to manage your body and not overdoing it. And I'm still learning from that even now, even though I know it.
See, when you've gone from not playing a long time and then to playing, it's hard to read the game. And these things that in training you can't do, crossing and through balls, it's not the same in training. Have you found that picking up the pace of the game is and concentration is...
Luckily, no. Saturday I was playing every week. I don't know why. I was just in a mindset. I was so like confident about myself.
Yep.
And even my goalkeeper coach literally told me when we rewatched the game that usually when you haven't played for 2 months, you need to adapt yourself in the when you come out
yep.
to catch it and everything. But I didn't have any problem this game. Tuesday, now it came up that obviously I didn't. I should have go to punch. I think about it. You know yep. what I mean. So now obviously this game was a bit more thinking, adjusting myself.
Yeah.
But I think when you start to play, obviously it's going to be
yeah more
fine.
And more.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Right, and then one last question before we finish is what do you know what the goalkeepers union is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, what does it mean to you?
Being like solidarity with the goalkeepers yep. always like that before game say good luck, hi, everything. After games being nice to each other. Obviously I've been following goalkeepers even though I don't know them. Just to see how they're doing,
yep.
and obviously like being friendly together,
yeah,
and obviously have her back all the time,
yeah.
Like my friend, literally Will, who is a goalkeeper with me this season in Woking.
Yeah, Will Yaskalainen. I know him
exactly. So when we're watching, sometime we put the big screen highlights of some YouTube games in the dinner room.
Yeah,
all the teammates that are against the goalkeeper. Oh, he should have catch it, and he's like, what are you talking about? And we don't even know the goalkeeper, but just because he's a goalkeeper, he got his back.
Yep.
So that's goalkeeper.
That is exactly what it is. Yeah. Right. Massive thank you for coming on, Alexis.
Yes,
I really enjoyed this episode. Hope you have too, mate.
Yeah.
It's been nice to talk goalkeeping with you, even though that bloody Maidenhead game last year, but it is what it is, mate.
For me, that was lovely. That's good.
I wish you all the best, obviously, with Woking and obviously the content creation stuff.
Thank you.
It's good to see you keep growing, mate.
Thank you, sir. You too. Good luck.
Thank you very much. What an episode this has been. This has been the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Massive shout out to my two sponsors, Forged Irish Stout and Mito Red Light. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care. Bye.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.